face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
Equal. Felger and Maz.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steam, he'll shovel it in. Grizzlick. Took a hit, lost the puck, and squeezes out in front, and Grizzlick is down, and I think we're going to have another penalty as Clifton gets into the fray.
Yeah, but you got a power play coming up.
Grizzlick is down on his knees.
He reached right for his head. He got him in the back of the head, driving the head in, and I think that's what it was. It wasn't a hit from behind, per se, but it's the right arm that hits the head of Grizzlick and then drives it into the glass. Because Grizzlick turns. He took a look over his shoulder. He knows this hit's coming, so he kind of stopped, and his numbers are facing Sundquist, but Sundquist gets up high, and with the right arm, he drives Grizzlick's head into the glass. That's why this is called, and Grizzlick reached right for his head.
All right, you take out Rob Thomas. They take out Matt Grizzlick. Is that what this has become? Don't necessarily have a problem with it. Do you? Do people? Does the league? Is that going to change the nature of this series? They're just sort of wondering about that. It's Felger Maz here from St. Louis. Hour number two on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to your phones as promised. Here's Bobby in Tewksbury. Yes, Bobby.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, I just want to say I agree with Maz. I want to see Marshawn get in there and play like the frickin' rat that he is. But there's another thing. Pasternak's got to grow some balls. Because when you look at his season, he goes on streaks, then he disappears. He's got to get some sack and get in there. And I just want to say one more thing. Kyrie, go to Los Angeles and jam your head up dad's rectum. Thank you, guys. God bless and see you later.
God bless America, Bobby.
Peace be with you.
No, that was... Hit that one out of the park.
Oh, that's an all-timer.
The Pasternak thing, I got it confused. I said Columbus yesterday, but it was that second game against Toronto where he was... You know,
flying around,
hitting people. So he has shown that he can do it. But this, like, he's looked soft. And again, when you look at that top line, he's been an issue. But the bigger issue, more than anyone else, is Marchand, like you said, Maz.
But if Pasternak starts running around and doing that, that's not his game. That's a win for the Blues.
Well, don't shy from it, though.
We also talked about this.
It's about hit. Go ahead.
It's about getting hit.
Yeah, it's taking the hit. It's not giving.
Right, giving a hit. So what? So you fly in there, you line somebody up on the forecheck, and you hit the defenseman, you know, a second after the puck is gone, and you bounce off him. Or maybe you deliver a good hit. But what Pasternak's really not going to deliver any sort of physical message. It's fun to see your skilled players engage physically, so maybe his teammates get a lift. But it's not like Pasternak's going to wear anybody down physically. So it's really just for show. And it doesn't connote any toughness. Tough is being the first one in and taking the hit. That's tough. And that's why remember Doug Hamilton with Alexander Ovechkin?
Of course.
You know, it doesn't take anything to be the hitter. You line someone up and you hit them. That doesn't hurt. Getting hit is the trick. And that's what David Pasternak absolutely needs to do. He needs to be first on the puck. He needs to take the hit, ward off the hit, and make a play.
Absolutely. And again, I'll even take him just standing on the faceoff circle and taking a shot, you know, being willing to take a shot to get his shot off. Like, he's like a ballerina out there right now. He's annoying.
Rocco and Saugus with an NBA thought for us. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, guys, listen, I just want to talk about Steve Kerr. But first, Tony, I do agree with you. Everything you said last week about Kyrie and Steph Curry, how, you know, Kyrie took Steph Curry to school. That's true. And I don't want to see Kevin Durant this series because it is a better, you know, you know, product on in the court. I just feel like, you know what I mean, Kevin Durant just ruins it, to be honest with you. But first on Steve Kerr, I don't feel like the Golden State Warriors, that delay hurt them. I mean, they were down by 3 points in the third, late third, early fourth quarter, so I don't really feel like that 9-10 day delay hurt them. I just feel like Steve Kerr, and I hate to say this, but he got out coached yesterday. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. I've been watching Golden State for a while. I think Steve Kerr's an overrated coach. I mean, Mike Brown took him to the finals. Luke Walton got like 45 wins with that team without Kevin Durant.
So, what specifically, you know, did Kerr do? Rocco, what specifically did Kerr do?
The substitution. I mean, like, he kept Klay Thompson, my guy, Klay Thompson, on the bench too long. I know he played 39 minutes, but there was an extra 5 minutes that he could have put him in when Golden State, you know, had that lead. I mean, or that run, excuse me. He could have put him in there, but he didn't. I'm like, my God, he always does that, always. And that's why.
Okay, so look, I'm just going to cut you off, Rocco. Is Steve Kerr overrated? Yeah. Are all NBA coaches? Yeah. He's fine. I think he's a non-factor on that team. But if you don't think the layoff hurt them in that, that was the classic case.
Oh, it definitely did.
Of a team coming off. They swept in the
yep. Yeah, they did.
Team coming off a sweep, other team coming off a six-game series. The other team's at home. I'm like, that was the classic case.
Oh, yeah, no, Toronto had to win that game.
Toronto was favored in the game. Toronto was, I think, favored by one.
Yeah, one or one and a half it was. So, look, again, I told you, I agree with all of that. I also think that Toronto's got some elements that could give Golden State trouble.
Like what?
And the size, length. I mean, between Siakam, not that Ibaka's playing
doesn't
all that
everyone
much.
Everyone have that over Golden State, Maz?
Who doesn't?
Doesn't everyone have size over Golden State?
Yeah, but you have to have good, you know, good players that can score consistently. I mean, it's one thing to have size. It's another thing to have size that can actually score.
Well, that's the key word, consistent. Let's see if Siakam and Gasol can go off like they did last night in games two and however long this series
I agree, Murray.
That's where my doubts
are. But they have some of the elements there. And I would also say Golden State at the same time does have elements to slow down Leonard a little bit. They got a lot of guys that can defend him, whether it's, you know, Green or Thompson. They can move different bodies in there, and that's going to create some problems too. I actually think it's a pretty interesting series.
Tim and Newton, give me a Bruins thought. Tim, are you there? Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. John in St. Louis is calling us as we come to you from St. Louis. Go ahead, John.
Hello, guys. I love the way you're putting it out there. And if it would have been vice versa and the Boston guy would have hit our guy in there, there was no charging. He never left his feet. It just happened to be a bad circumstance. His head hit the glass, okay? I'm with you completely how you've been talking open about old school hockey. I live and die for it. I got out of it back whenever they changed the rules. Long time St. Louis Blues fan, back before they changed the rules. Now, if the refs don't destroy the situation of the game, let these guys play.
Let them play, John. Thanks for calling us. Let them play. They're consenting adults. This Globe headline scared me, though. Oh, God, the Globe headline. Bruins and Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt. Subhead. This series has been brutally physical through two games. Will NHL officials do anything to curb it? Like, suddenly now we have, like, a societal problem on our hands.
All right, that may as well read, hockey violent, comma, wah.
People are getting hurt.
Oh.
People are getting hurt.
That's the sport. At least that's how it used to be.
Honestly, I thought that was sort of the whole point of the playoffs.
There's people getting hurt.
It's a war of attrition.
What about the children? You know, like, I mean, even just the way they word that. They're not people. They're the players. Okay? And they play the sport to get hurt. That's the nature of the game. People are getting hurt. Oh, God. I read that. I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Is the league looking at it like this? And are they going to step in the middle of what's becoming a nice violent series? Ooh, that scares the crap out of me. That scares me. God, do I hate that headline. You old nanas. Will NHL officials do anything to curb it? Like, they're almost asking for it. Sometimes the Globe does bug me, you know? Keep your goopy liberalism out of my sport, please.
I mean, let's see how it's officiated tonight, if there's any sort of appreciable change there.
Matt in Quincy. Go ahead, Matt.
Guys, I don't know if you were talking about if you actually think that we woke up a sleeping giant or if you were just asking the people that question, but I think this series is identical to Columbus. I think the Bruins lose, win the first game, they lose the second one in overtime. I think Columbus and St. Louis are very similar, and I would even take Columbus's high-end scoring talent over the Blues. And when it comes to hits, I keep hearing like St. Louis is big, 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 big. Well, the Bruins ranked 15th overall in hits per game during the regular season. And St. Louis was down in the 20s, and so was in Columbus, but Columbus was ahead of St. Louis. So I think the only really upside that St. Louis has over Columbus is maybe their back end. But when the Bruins front end wakes up, like Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, like they did in games 4 through 6 in Columbus, it's going to turn the Bruins away, and the Bruins are going to beat them.
Okay, I mean, I agree with most of what you said, except the first line in Columbus is what? Panarin, Duchesne, what was their first line?
Atkinson.
Atkinson scored 40 goals. He's no pushover. Atkinson can score the puck.
This is a better first line. Come on. This is a better first line.
I think this is a better forward group, period.
This is a better first line.
I think their D's deeper, too, here. Like you say, they're a lot like Columbus. They are. There's some similarity there.
No, but I think his general point is right. I think that St. Louis is kind of built and plays along the way of Columbus, which I don't think does not scare me. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to win. I mean, I'm not – I want to tell you this like some sort of rollover. I'm just telling you that style to me and that kind of team – doesn't scare me. Period. Story over. But this first line is better than that first line in Columbus. I am sorry.
I think they have a deeper decor. I think they have a deeper forward group. And on top of what you said, they're Columbus, but they're better than the Columbus.
Their goaltender's not as good.
Well, that's true.
Pete and Rossi, what do you got for us, Pete?
Hey, I just want to say that if this turns into one of those like Rock'em Sock'em series, I am very concerned. The Bruins are not the Bruins of 2011. Right? This is a new team. They play a different style. They need to play to their strengths and stop trying to show everybody how tough they are by racking up all these hits. They need to just play to their strengths, get behind the D, and make some plays.
Okay, it's an interesting take. You're sort of nodding over there,
Matt. Well, because again, I mean, that's basically what I'm saying is I think that if you get into a black and blue kind of series, I think that they're bigger and tougher than you. Well, tougher is the wrong word. Stronger. They're bigger and stronger than you. And I think that that's playing their game, and it tilts the series in their direction. I just think that the more collisions there are, the more likely you are to get hurt versus them.
Okay, and so if it's a war of attrition, you don't like your chances.
I don't.
Speaking of a war of attrition, I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but they're practicing right now behind us. We're live outside the Enterprise Center, St. Louis, Missouri. The Bruins are practicing right now on the sheet right behind us, and Patrice Bergeron's not out there.
Oh, boy.
He's not out there. Carson Kuhlman took his spot as the first-line center. So, you know, we'll be inside. We'll have people inside listening to the cast. He's going to address the media soon. The players will talk, and we'll bring some reporters out to tell us what just went on inside. But, again, this is – you know they're going to call it a maintenance day.
Oh, of course.
Another maintenance day the day before Stanley Cup final game.
So, I'm not buying it. I mean, again, you know, look, he had – his playing time has been cut in various ways, whether it's shorter shifts or total ice time, define it however you want. And he got absolutely murdered on the faceoff dot in the last game. You know, to me, I add all those things up and I say, okay, now there I start to worry about someone not being right. And again, this is I think this is part and parcel of facing, you know, I'm not telling you it was a result of this series because I think his minutes were cut back in game one, for crying out loud.
They've been the last two games. And you know, I have a hard time telling if they've been cut back or Corrali was better.
Right.
And Coyle was better. I think Corrali and Coyle were just better. So, yeah, his minutes were brought back. Was that because of injury or because the other lines were better?
Okay, so we thought it was Cassidy making a call on the fly about who was going and who wasn't. In retrospect, maybe it wasn't.
Okay, so we'll get the very latest on Bergeron and the Bruins as they practice right behind us here at the Enterprise Center. It's Felger and Maz live from St. Louis.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steen, he'll shovel it in. Grizzlick took a hit, lost the puck, and squeezes out in front, and Grizzlick is down, and I think we're going to have another penalty as Clifton gets into the fray.
Yeah, but you got a power play coming up.
Grizzlick is down on his knees.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The Stanley Cup Finals play here. Felger and Maz are in St. Louis, sponsored by Revive Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
Who the hell are these guys?
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
Say, well, it sucks.
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
Let's go.
I need one more reason to hate the Blues. I want the Cup.
I got a reason for you. I think there's something fishy about their turnaround. On January 3rd, the Blues had the fewest points in the league and were 300-1 to win the Cup.
What are you trying to say, bro?
I'm saying that someone evil and powerful bet a lot of money on them in January. That's what I think. They rigged it so they'd get this far.
You don't mean what I think you mean.
I do.
Goodell.
Yeah,
f*** the Blues and we want the Cup.
It is Felger and Maz in the belly of the beast here in St. Louis, Missouri, outside the Enterprise Center. Getting you ready for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night, Bruins-Blues. We do this all the time at the Super Bowl. We travel halfway across the country and then talk to someone from Boston. That's always my favorite thing to do. Jack Edwards of Nesson joins us now on set. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great, thanks. So, Game 3.
There it is. So you just walked out of the building. You saw practice. How'd you feel looking out there and not seeing Patrice Bergeron on the ice?
I suspect that he's been hiding something. You know, it's not the Bergeron in motion that we're used to seeing, but nobody's saying anything. I mean, we're into that KGB time of the year, right? You know, you can't get secrets out of anybody, and Bergeron seems to have been compromised in a movement away since I think all the way back to the Toronto series. There was that game that he only played 14 and a half minutes, and you expect Bergeron to be up there around 19 or so at least.
Can we use injury as an excuse, Jack?
No.
Thank you.
Nah, everybody's got him. You know, I mean, you know, you look at San Jose after the St. Louis series, they had four guys go directly under the dome, right to surgery, right? So, you know, that's what it is in the playoffs.
Okay, so outside of injury, we're not going to use it. What's that first line not doing?
They're just making poor decisions. I have been charting Brad Marchand's back diagonal passes in the attacking zone.
How many?
It's been awful, hasn't it?
It is.
Really?
You know, about 90% of them turn into odd man rushes.
Right. Sure, yeah.
Thank you, Jack. I mean, and not only can the opponents see them coming, but they're expecting them because every single team in the league now has a video coach working with really sophisticated software that says, this is where the turnovers are coming from. And when Marshawn goes to the backhand and he starts looking backward in the zone, they're in their sprinter's blocks. They're ready to go. And I'm sure the Bruins coaching staff has talked to him about it. But, you know, like the last three times it's happened, it's been almost tragic in its obviousness.
So what do you see in Pastrnak?
I think he's trying to do too much by himself. A lot of this, you know, comes from my benefit of being able to stand right next to Brick and talk to Bob Beers after the telecast and after the broadcast and to tap into their wisdom. When Pastrnak is in that tight formation, that triangle, which we've seen that line forward up the ice so many times, they can play spontaneously off their own skill sets and make magic out of it. In a way that defies any defensive scheme or plan. But when Pastrnak, for instance, has a lot of ice and too much time to think of something spectacular to do, sometimes the simple game gets away. And the Bruins are at their best when they're playing simple principles and then they do spontaneous things. It's when they have so much time that they can think about it instead of just playing that it starts to go off the edge.
It's Jack Edwards of Nesson. He's out here like NBC Sports Boston with pre and post coverage of the Stanley Cup Finals. So what does Cassie do on the matchup? Because in Boston, he's running Bergeron away from Shen and he's putting Crowley out there or Cassie a little bit. Here, it's going to be much, much harder unless he wants to run Bergeron off the ice after a faceoff. They have to play Shen, right? I mean, that's just
right
the way it's going to be.
Right. Well, you know, that's playoff hockey, right? And players rise to the occasion or they don't rise to the occasion. And often series are decided on those players' ability and the coaching staff's ability to prepare the players for that difficult situation. That's where we are. You know, the immovable object has come up against the unstoppable force, and which is going to be which, right?
What did you think of how the league handled the Grizzly Sundquist play?
You know, I thank Damian Echevarrieta for always returning my texts, no matter how blistering.
And he is who for?
He is the senior vice president of the Department of Player Safety, and he and George Peros run most of the decision-making process about suspensions. I think this parallels the McAvoy suspension, where I don't necessarily think that Sundquist was picking the head because Grizzlick was moving pretty unpredictably and quickly in that situation. But I think there is such an onus on the league to punish head hits and to punish especially concussive head hits that Sundquist was going to go. I think if the roles were reversed, people in Boston would probably be objecting to it. But Craig Berube handles these things as with the equanimity of, you know, a longshoreman going to work. You know, there's going to be another 100 tons of stuff to move today, so let's get at it. Let's not complain about yesterday. I mean, Berube, the way he reacted to the Timo Meier illegal hand pass that led to an overtime loss,
nothing.
He goes like, okay, let's move on. And I think that's the attitude that St. Louis is adopting going into this game. I mean, Zach Sanford skated in Sundquist's spot at this morning's practice. Berube was asked about it, and he goes, yeah, we're going to, you know, lose a guy who's got a lot of talent, and he does a lot of things well. Is Sanford the guy? Well, I'm not going to tell you until tomorrow, you know.
How do you view the balance of the series, Jack? Did something shift there in game two?
I don't think so. And I don't really have a read on this series yet because I think St. Louis played way below its ceiling in game one. I think the Bruins played way below their ceiling in game two. And I think there might be legitimate attribution to the long layoff for both teams that neither team really has found a consistent rhythm yet. Game three might be that game. And that's going to tell us a lot. I don't think we have seen a matchup of these two teams bringing their A games.
Does the Blues' size and physicality scare you?
Yeah, it should. It should, because that's the way they got past San Jose. I mean, San Jose skated game six, which obviously was the elimination game, without Erik Karlsson, who aggravated a groin injury, without Tomas Hertl, who got dinged in the head by one of Sundqvist's line mates, Ivan Barbashev, and without
Pavelski,
right, who, you know, was... He had a wonky knee, but, you know, he had all kinds of stuff going on.
See, I feel like I'm in the minority on this one, Jack. I'm with you. People hear physical series, and they say, well, that's right up the Bruins' alley. No problem. And generally, they can handle it. I just think this team's a different animal.
Well, yeah, it is. But if you and this is another Andy Brickley lesson that I've learned, if you take it back to the origin of St. Louis's physicality, it's St. Louis's ability to get the puck quickly and efficiently out of its defensive zone. Because if the Bruins can rush and score off the rush against St. Louis, which they definitely can.
Well, they did in game one.
Right. That comes from breaking the puck out quickly and not enabling St. Louis to get its heavy forecheck going, which is how Grizzly got hurt. You know, and when St. Louis can send in two thugs forward to the goal line and plaster you against the end boards, I mean, Craig Berube had more than 3,000 penalty minutes in his career. That he has brought that physicality to the St. Louis Blues. It's part of playoff hockey, a seven-game series. You go back to the 1970s, look at how Philadelphia... By the way, Berube, an original, originally was a Flyer before he moved on to, I believe, six other teams in his career. They tagged Bobby Orr whether or not he had the puck. Get your 2 minutes worth, boys. Every time you can take a shot at him, take a shot at him.
My worry today, Jack, is that the league's going to step in front of that. That each team's lost a player, sort of has the look of you got one, we got one, now we're running people, and now we're going tit for tat, and the league doesn't want that.
So we're going to go ticky-tack.
And we're going to go ticky-tack. That's my worry.
That would just, it would turn the NHL into the NFL, right, where you have a stoppage and a review, and everybody argues over it, and you lose track of the flow of the game, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Okay, me too. Real quick, you just came out of the locker room or talked to the guys or whatever. Mood of the team?
Real good. Real good. You know, the veteran core of the Bruins, the highs don't get too high. The lows don't get too low. During the eight-game playoff winning streak, nobody really talked about it much, and they're not talking about the loss. That's behind them. They're looking forward to game two. And St. Louis, similarly business-like. You know, Craig Berube, another day at the docks.
He is a flat line.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, in front of us. Jack, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
All good. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you this weekend in Old St. Louis. Here's an update from Murray, and we're right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
On the road for the Stanley Cup Finals, Felger and Mass, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Matt Barr!
You again?
Colton Brewer?
Oh,
Ryan Brazier!
Brazier!
And those other guys!
It's back for 2019! An all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums! Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel!
Barr! Brazier!
Thornburg!
Johnson!
Johnson!
Thornburg!
Brazier!
Barr!
Sambry!
Work!
Brazier!
Thornburg!
Hayward, Velasquez, Embry, Johnson. Today's gutless bum is...
Well, Boston will turn it over to Ryan Brazier, who's been doing most of their closing. Looking up and watching this one get out of here is Jackie Bradley Jr. Wow, did that ball take off? Boston has 8 blown saves this year. They only have 12 saves, 8 blown. It's not a very good percentage. Allen drives one to deep right. Down the line it goes. Gone! We are tied on Greg Allen's first home run of the year. How about that? Alex Cora makes a pitching change. Lakins uses the windup. Kicks, fires, and... swung on, drill, deep right field, back is Betts, track, wall, he got a glove on it, dropped the ball, into scores Lindor, Mercado is following him home, into second is Luplo, and stopping at third is Santana, the gold glover, the MVP, got back near the wall, reached up, got a glove on it, and didn't catch it. And the Indians take the lead 7-5.
All right, it's Agenda-Free Friday. Felger and Maz here in St. Louis for Stanley Cup games final, Stanley Cup final games 3 and 4. But it's Agenda-Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. So we still mix it up, everything from the week. And we did a little Red Sox, and they're in an interesting spot, as you heard there in the Wheel of Gutless Bums updated version. Their pitching staff got their teeth kicked in the last couple of games against Cleveland, bullpen and more. And now they head into New York. Got a rain out last night, so it's going to be a 3-game series instead of a 4. But just your Red Sox thoughts, Maz, heading into this weekend.
So they've lost 3.5 games in the standings in the last 2 weeks. It was at 4 at that time. On May 15th, they were 4 out. Now it's 7.5. And so, like, at what point do you say, okay, like, you just can't keep going backwards? You got to start making up some ground big time, or the division's out of play. So I know it's early still. We're not even into June yet, albeit by one day. But I think that, believe it or not, I think the rainout helps them out. You know, their pitchers have been all over the place here the last couple of days. So it allows them to sort of catch their breath, get their bullpen together, give everyone an extra day to sort of breathe. And Sale goes out there in New York. But you got to start winning series against some of these good teams, or you're going to look up and you're going to be 10-12 out. And then it's all about the wild card, and that's it. So, it's pretty simple to me. You got to get your head out of your ass. Like, otherwise, what's the point here?
Yeah, you got to start winning behind Sale.
Yes, and Price. I mean, I saw some stats.
What's the team record with Price?
Oh, it's also a losing record. I don't have it in front of me. Someone tweeted out the other day. I think it was our buddy at Boston Sports Inf. But they are something like 6 or 7 games under 500, maybe worse behind those two guys. And if you're going to do that, what's the point? Like, you got to win those games. I don't care who you're playing. When those guys pitch, you got to win.
Okay, there's your Red Sox Minute. You want to weigh in on that? You can. You want to weigh in on the NBA Finals or these new Celtics rumors today? By all means, you can. We're mostly Bruins, of course. So right back with you. Here's Adam in Rhode Island. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, I know losing Grizz is bad, but them losing Sundquist, is considerable, considering he's, like, tied for the most plus minus on the team, and that fourth line for the Blues has been real good for them through the playoffs. But what I wanted to get to is I see a lot of parallels in this series so far with the Columbus series, where, the Bruins really did more to lose than the Blues did to win game two, and how, they kind of came back and banged 3 out in a row after Cassidy got on them in the locker room here. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Do you think the Bruins did more to lose than the Blues did to win, or was it kind of even? Which way?
No, I mean, I think both teams elevated. I think Columbus was playing well at the time, and it took you a while to crack the code and to just sort of push past them. St. Louis clearly elevated from game one to game two.
Oh, they absolutely did.
So the question is, did they sort of fire all their bullets in that game, and now they're going to revert back to somewhere in the middle? If that's the pitch that they play at, then yeah, it's going to be you're going to have a hard, hard time. I just don't know if they can maintain that. Even, with 6-5 games to go in the season and at this level, it's hard to maintain that.
No, it is. It's brutally hard. I mean, you just can't, no matter how big and strong you are, you can't play at that pace all the time. It just doesn't work. So I would just,
But again, I think comparing them to Columbus is
fair.
Fair.
Sure it is.
It's not an exact comparison. I think St. Louis is better in places. I think Columbus is better in places. So there's no perfect analogy, but I think generally speaking, That's the sort of thing you have to overcome, just like you did against Columbus.
I also think the caller's overrating what Sunquist is to the Blues. To me, he's just a
I agree, Murray. He's a piece.
Yeah.
Grizzlick hurts much more than Sunquist.
Oh, so much more. And for them to lose him for a game, and if Grizzlick's out, even if it's just for one game, Craig Berube says to that locker room, like, that's a win for us.
That's a win.
Based on what I've seen, I think they're better without him. He's made stupid plays two games in a row.
Robin Boxford, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so I think we can all agree. Char is old, Char is slow, and he's no longer a top-pairing defenseman. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
He's still our captain, no?
Yes.
Okay, so you got this goon roller hockey player giving stone-cold stunners to the little guys on our team in our building. Then he goes up to our bench and tells us we're all effed, and Chara does nothing? If this guy doesn't go right after Maroon, the first shift he's out there with him, like, what is Chara even useful for anymore? How does he not? There's more ways to fire up the team than just scoring a goal. If he pops this guy in the mouth, and he shows his teammates, like, hey, I'm still useful, and I'm going to not let him talk to you guys and treat you guys that way. Don't you think he can start a spark that way? How are you going to let this scrub go up to our bench and tell us we're all in our own building? In our own building. And the captain does nothing? That is ridiculous. Show Rob, some worth, Chara.
Rob, call of the day. Second, we had a whopper earlier in the first hour.
I was just about to say, honest to God,
Jimmy Clippett. It's a great call.
I was just about to say, I'd like to see some of the Bruins' bigger guys answer, specifically Chara.
I mean, who do they have that can stand up? I mean, with Kevin Miller out, it's really him. I mean,
yeah, or Backus.
Backus would do it. He'd
Carlo.
Take the beating.
But again, Backus would get the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, but he's tough.
Yes, he is. Yes.
He's tough.
No, he's the guy to do it. Right. But so is Chara.
Sure. Yeah, look, and again, the one thing I would say, though, is I don't think Maroon cares. I love Maroon, okay, so don't go by me. He's fought Chara before. He'll fight him. I don't think he'll turn that one down. Now, look, I would love to see it. What I'd love to see is for Chara to beat the bag out of him. Like that, you'd love to see. Like, okay, you're going to shoot your mouth off? Fine, let's go. I'll knock your nose through the other side of your head.
After talking to Mike Rupp the other day, Chara doesn't ask it like that. He's much more polite.
Yeah, well, so that's true. Yeah, very courteous.
Yes, fine, sir. I was wondering if maybe at some point you might make yourself available.
May I have this fight?
No? Okay, then maybe later. We'll discuss later, okay? That Mike Rupp story was great on Chara.
But it wouldn't be. I mean, Chara's one of the few guys. I mean, he's bigger than everybody in the league. But no matter who it is, he can stick his shoulder and someone say, do you really want to play this way? Because I'll do it.
We continue with your thoughts and what to do and what will be the response of that first line on the Boston Bruins. Big story heading into Game 3. We'll do that next in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Felger and Mazza in St. Louis for the Stanley Cup Finals. Sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Usually if they check well, get pucks back, they'll get some odd man rushes against offensive lines. Generally speaking, if they support the puck close together, they'll get their chances. If they're able to separate down low against those man-to-man type of defenders, they'll get some chances. They got a few. They haven't finished yet. I wouldn't say that line has been dormant by any means. They just haven't finished anything that they typically do. So I suspect they will get together. Sometimes Jay will take them and go through some clips where maybe they're students of the game where they, you know, see an opening and against. You know, listen, we're in the finals. These good players are playing against every night, so they've got to find that little edge. And I suspect they'll work hard to do that in Game 3.
Okay, a lot has been made of the first line, and rightfully so. It's why you're tied in this series and not 2-0 up. It's really been the biggest problem on the team. And there's a difference between them not producing, which is fine. I mean, not ideal, but scoring comes and goes. That happens even to the best of the best. So them not scoring is fine. The issue is the goals against. And I played that cut because Cassie says it starts with them defending. And it really does. And the thing that's made this a problem is that they're a minus. They're a big minus. They're a collective minus seven. And, I mean, just compare that to the fourth line. That's a collective plus nine. And it's not just that the Corrali line's going up against fourth line scrubs. No, no. They went up against Shen a lot in those first two games because Cassie had to put them up there because Bergeron's line was getting their ass kicked. So it's not really about the competition either. No, no, that's – so the issue with Bergeron's line is, you know, forget the not scoring. It's the goals given up. And so it starts with them just getting back to that. And the second thing, Maz, that really bugs me is the decision-making. Like Jack Edwards' line about the back diagonal passes from Brad Marchand stands out because it's just so obvious how they are overthinking it, overpassing it, getting too cute. And – that and the, it's a decision making. If they're banged up and a little slow, okay. If the scoring's run dry because it goes hot and cold, okay. But the decision making and some of the laziness, like Marchand just watching come in some of these plays, that is
inexcusable.
That to me is the issue with
yeah, inexcusable again. And look, that stat you had yesterday or whenever it was, the four even strength goals that the Bruins have allowed in the series, three of them come with those guys on the ice. Like, and see, I sort of connect the decision-making with the laziness because I think they're sort of the same thing. Like, what's Marchand doing giving up on that play? How can you possibly give up on that play? Like, first of all, again, I'm going by what all the hockey analysts said to a man. He went over to the guy in the first place to pick up Tarasenko, which was a mistake unto itself. So that decision, what are you doing? How long have you played? What are you doing? Don't try so hard. So just simplify the game, be where you're supposed to be, and let the offense come. Like, to me, that's really what they should do.
And we'll see about that. And I think they may be in a more defensive posture here because they won't be able to run from that Shen line like normal. You have to believe that, Marchand's been beat over the head for 2 days now. It'll be 3 days on that mistake on the Tarasenko goal. And you figure they're going to have that thing settled. I mean, I don't know. I can't believe it's going to stay as bad as it is. That has to improve, doesn't it? It just has to. All right, so your thoughts on that, your thoughts on everything else. Agenda Free Friday continues here from St. Louis. Let's grab Andrew in Haverhill. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, I want to talk about the Grizzly, who they have to put up a Grizzly. But real quick, on that Globe story, it's not the Chiefs versus Syracuse. It's not the Federal League. You know,
thank you.
We don't have there's not a bunch of goons out there. No Ogie Oglethorpe or the Hook McCracken. They need to calm down. It's playoff hockey. It's physical. People are going to get hurt. It is what it is. The pro clutching over that drives me nuts. But,
thank you.
You know, on who's going in for Grizzly, I feel like it's going to be John Moore, Stephen Camper. But I think John Moore blows. He sucks out loud. Stephen Camper's all right. But what about Urho Vaakanainen? He's one of the black aces. He was a first-round draft pick. He played a little bit this year. What about going with the guy with the higher ceiling, a guy who you know can make plays, who you drafted in the first round 2 years ago? What about a guy like that?
Okay, John. It's another good call. I mean, I don't think he's going to. I don't think Vaakanainen has a chance.
So I would just, you know,
throw him at his first playoff action in the Stanley Cup final.
Game three of the Stanley Cup final?
No.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, I just don't, that's asking a lot. And this isn't the first time they've needed a defenseman. They haven't had any major injuries, but Camper has played, Moore has played. Vaakanainen has not gotten a sniff. Like, he was only going to play if they had to get an 8, 9, even 10 deep on D. I don't think it's a viable option.
You want some advanced analytics on Grizzly and what his loss means?
Sure, yeah, absolutely, because I think it's significant.
You have to help me translate, though.
Okay.
This is according to Fluto in The Athletic. During 5-on-5 postseason play, according to Natural Stat Trick, the Bruins have allowed 51.52 shot attempts per 60 minutes of play when Grizzly has been on the ice. It is the lowest CA per 60. What does CA mean now? Why wouldn't that be SA, shot attempts?
No idea. Chances against? I have no idea, but whatever it is.
Why don't you help me out, Fluto? Like, we all don't speak nerd. Like, I mean, really?
I'm a semi-fluent in geek.
No, but this is what these nerds do, though. They all think we know what the F this stuff means. When they say they're 2.7 war. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. You have to explain to me exactly what that means. 2.7 wins over replacement. But how do you mean? I still don't know that.
You don't know the scale.
So why do you give me CA per 60 when you just said 51.5? 5.52 shots per 60. That should be essay.
Maybe he typed the wrong letter. Maybe it's a typo.
God, I hate that. When geeks think you speak, that we all speak your language. We don't. We don't speak your language. Anyway, he has the lowest of that thingy, whatever it is, on the whole team. Grzelcyk thrives at shot suppression, he writes, because of how rapidly he closes on the puck, both at the blue line and deep in his own zone. Conversely, John Moore, the likeliest to replace Grzelcyk on the left side,
oh boy,
has chased more than he has controlled play. During his 5 playoff appearances, Moore, and this leads me to believe that wasn't a typo, Moore has a team-worst 69.53 CA per 60.
Okay, that's Corsi against.
Oh, God. Okay. Corsi against. Thank you. Give me the... Just tell me what
isn't
it is.
Isn't that like percentage of shot attempts?
Possession, yes. So it is shot attempts.
Yeah.
That's what that is, shot attempts. And they're not all on net. It's just they count any shot attempt.
Yeah.
It's a metric of possession. He says that Moore is faster than Grzelcyk and just as agile, but Grzelcyk's superior processing power has helped him win races that Moore has lost.
Processing power.
So
I'm going to throw in a computer.
As I want to blow my brains out now, but I think the advanced analytics speak to Grzelcyk's value. It's a sneaky big loss for the Bruins.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Like, and again, take the analytics out of it. When you watch it, he can collect the puck and skate it out, and he does it a lot. And so you're going to spend less time in your zone,
or the first pass is right there.
I mean, their D is built on that. Their entire D is about getting the puck and getting it out of there. That my point is with the speed, right? That's how they built their defense core now. It's not the way that the Blues did it with just big guys that you can't get the puck away from. It's little guys who go in and get it, and then you can't catch them.
All right, it's Felger and Maz here in St. Louis, broadcasting on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. We simulcast continue around New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. They have followed us here to the Enterprise Center. We will continue with your calls on this and anything else you want. It's Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday from St. Louis. No commercials here, just an update.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.